Addicted to Love is created and presented by theroyalpath.com.
Love can be the most wonderful, heart-opening, and nourishing wonder that gives the touch of magic to our experience called life. Love, however, can also be the most devastating and challenging obstacle that can break your heart into a thousand pieces. One of the reasons why it is so hard is that love is often mistaken for a dependency or can even be an addiction. Learning love is like any other discipline. If you want to be good at it, you have to master it. And that is what you learn in this show. Welcome to Addicted to Love. Welcome back to Addicted to Love with Aaliyah Ava and another episode called The Vicious Cycle of a Co-Addicted Relationship. And I want to talk about that because if you've been a regular listener of this show, you know by now that we talk about love addiction and love avoidance mostly in this show. And it's really important for those who want to step out of it to become even more aware of the cycle that those two usually enter. It's exhilarating at first, even this dance of pursuit and avoidance. But in the end, it robs both of them of a fair chance to manifest their desperate longing for emotional intimacy. And I know of this cycle because I easily have more than a decade of personal experience and I was able to uncover and understand as I was going through my deep feeling therapy back in Los Angeles in 2016. So I want to lay out the cycle based on my personal experience. And of course, I want to honor Pia Melody's term of the tango, you know, the co-addicted tango that she's made really important marks on. So I can't fully credit that, but I do want to add from my own experience. And to make it easy, I will just refer to the love addict as a woman and the love avoidant being the man. And yeah, there is something to say about gender typing, and I will talk about that in some of the following episodes. But for now, love addict is the woman, love avoidant is the man. So phase number one is called attraction. When they first meet, both experience a strong mutual initial attraction. The love avoidant is attracted to the vulnerability, adoration, and subtle neediness of the love addict. He possibly sees potential for his narcissistic supply because we know by now that love avoidants tend to have narcissistic tendencies. The love addict is delighted by the seemingly strong and charismatic partner and often thinks of the meeting like love at first sight or destiny. She believes that she has never felt like this before and starts hoping for this union to become solid as quickly as possible. Phase number two, we call courtship. The love avoidant presents himself as the perfect partner, only displaying the shiny parts of his otherwise almost faulty character. He starts actively courting the love addict. He makes compliments, shows plenty of attention and affection, is emotionally available and even vulnerable from time to time. He even anticipates the love addict's needs and seduces with his well-owned strategy of courtship to start gaining admiration, control, and power in the relationship. Subconsciously, he also wants to secure his next narcissistic supply and wants to see how far the other is willing to go when it comes to acceptance of his irrational and faulty behavior. The love addict makes up the perfect fantasy and starts idolizing the love avoidant. She starts to become addicted to the rush of pleasure she experiences from the exquisite cocktail of brain chemicals and intense emotions that get triggered when she engages in that fantasy, in that dramatic plot. The typical love addict starts to label the relationship as the one and starts to prematurely commit to her partner without taking enough time to actually evaluate the partner. So she enters the relationship too soon and quickly starts to neglect other relationships and life matters. She's often overly generous with her signs of affection and tries to push the relationship towards more commitment. Out of insecurity, she wants her premature commitment to be reciprocated by the love avoidant, who then starts to feel enmeshed and suffocated by that underlying expectation. Phase number three is the relationship and what happens once they start to become serious. Well, if serious is actually something the love avoidant will ever really engage in. So once the love avoidant realizes that the love addict is getting more and more dependent on him and the relationship, his fear of intimacy kicks in and he starts to perceive the relationship as a duty with his freedom at risk. So he grows resentful of the love addict's neediness and expectation. And as a response to feeling like a prisoner, he keeps things casual. He doesn't share too much of himself. He leaves things in the open. He avoids too much intimacy. He can be secretive about himself. He even starts to disrespect his partner's boundaries, but yet has very strict ones himself. And to create more distance again, he also starts diminishing and shaming the partner. It's almost like finding or pointing out fault in the smallest of things. He just basically puts up more walls and plays more push-pull games, displaying even passive-aggressive behavior, and can start to ghost and ignore his partner to his liking, depending on how he feels. So the love addict then starts to successfully ignore, I would say, or is unable to see the red flags that pop up and enters the phase of denial about who the other really is. So she finds excuses. She justifies the love avoidance, irrational behavior. And out of fear of abandonment, which is the conscious fear of the love addict, she possibly also starts to accept subtle emotional, physical, even sexual abuse and compromises falsely to avoid loss of love and attention. And due to the love avoidance inconsistent demonstration of affection, the love addict becomes more needy and demands more attention. She starts compromising on her truth and slowly starts losing her sense of self. And then days become marked by continuous moments of obsession over the whereabouts of the love avoidant, making her incapable of focusing anymore. Emotional release basically only happens when the love avoidant makes himself heard or seen. So she applies various strategies to feel more loved by the love avoidant, but only achieves to push him away further. Phase four is called breakup. The love addict's expectations and needs for constant affection and reassurance gets too much for the love avoidant. So he starts telling himself that he doesn't need the person or the relationship anymore. He feels confirmed that love is not safe. He's going to suffocate again. And it is better to distance to not get too enmeshed or suffocated. Eventually, he coldly dumps the by then desperate and hopeless love addict and convinces himself of the pleasure of his newfound freedom. So he becomes unavailable and goes cold turkey, ignoring any attempts of contact from the love addict. And due to the sudden absence and lack of any sign of connection from the love avoidant, the love addict starts to experience emotional and even physical pain because of withdrawal. The love addict gets extremely triggered in his biggest fear, which is abandonment. So she feels hopeless and helpless and doesn't know how to emotionally survive the sudden breakup or heartbreak. She continues obsessing over the love avoidant and might start hysterical and extreme attempts to bring the love avoidant back into her life. At some point, she just gives up and keeps suffering in silence, bathing in the hope for the love avoidant to change his mind. Phase five is reconciliation. Because after some time, and until the love avoidant was able to distance himself enough to just regain a feeling of independence, he starts to miss the narcissistic supply. And on his terms, he will start making contact again, already knowing that the love addict is only waiting for him to do so. So he returns due to his own co-addictive issues and need for admiration. The love addict suffering, well, the love addict's suffering, it disappears in a heartbeat as soon as the love avoidant connects again. Gigi then starts tiptoeing around the love avoidant and loses more of herself to ensure that the love avoidant won't leave again and she won't be abandoned another time. That's when the romantic intermezzo restarts the dysfunctional cycle all over again. Phase 6 is called awareness. The love addict at some point in time will grow tired and exhausted with the games that the love avoidant plays, the games of pursuit and avoidance. So she then either starts a journey of healing and growth or will turn to someone else to fall helplessly love addicted to. As long as she is not aware of the fact that she is the common denominator of her failed relationships, she will continue to chase after someone who will fill that emptiness and regulate the painful sense of inadequacy. In any case, she starts distancing herself from the love avoidant. And in phase number 7 is relapse. So the love avoidant, once the love addict started to distance herself, he starts to feel fearful and nervous because his sense of superiority starts to fade. And the pain of feelings of unworthiness due to no longer being needed and admired starts kicking in. And then that triggers his unconscious fear of abandonment. So he starts his recovery program and tries to hoover the love addict back in with the most romantic of gestures. And it comes with a promise of having changed and things will be different this time around. It's almost like there is a temporary inversion of the roles. And the love addict, despite her well-intended commitment, then really gets tempted by just one more rush of pleasure, please, and opens herself up to the love avoidance manipulative attempts to get her back. And she feels flattered and wanted and desired the things the love addict actually really needs and wants because it soothes her painful sense of shameful unworthiness. And it's usually only a question of time, and she will give in to enjoy another romantic intermezzo to start the cycle all over again, where the roles immediately shift back to the original dynamic. And then again, you have a romantic intermezzo that restarts the dysfunctional cycle all over again. And trust me, sometimes that cycle can, you know, can take 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Some people stay with those people for years until we enter phase 8, healing and awakening. Because after a couple of repetitions of this painful cycle, the love addict will no longer be able to endure the suffering and will search for ways to heal the lost parts within herself. And if she keeps walking the path of healing, she will have a real awakening. She will start taking off the pink glasses and start seeing things for how they really are. If she goes on the path of true healing and commits to herself, she will eventually let go of dysfunctional relationships after all and find healthy love with a securely attached person. And I know of this cycle truly because it is my story. And I've been in it for most of my life. I will tell you a little bit more about my personal love addiction story, but in a later episode, because in this way, you might see that being in a co-addicted relationship does not just happen to you. It happens to many people, and you do not have to feel ashamed about it, whether you consider yourself a typical love addict or a love avoidant. The important thing is, you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. You are showing up because you're listening to this episode and your intention and heart's desire is to engage with people that actually reciprocate the love that you share with this world. And I want to help you with it. So in the next episode, I'm going to have something very special for you. It's going to be the 30 days no contact survival guide, because you know that if you really want to get off a relationship that doesn't serve you, you need to get perspective. You need to step out of it. There is no in between. That's like recovering from alcoholism, but have a drink once in a while. That's just not how it works. The thing that triggers you, you need to remove it. And no contact, going no contact is hard because your withdrawal will kick in. So most people don't do it. And they just find compromises, staying friends or having a casual hookup or trying it again, even though they promised themselves to never do it. But they just can't get through that phase of withdrawal, you know? And so I want to help you with that. And I want to take you through it step by step. It's an online program. You get a workbook. You get an email from me every day. You get to join a support community on Facebook. You get to have me live answering all your questions. And I'm even going to share motivational videos with you as you go along in that month. And I'm really excited because it's a beautiful program. It's 75 pages long, the workbook, and you are going to burn that version of you that engages in co-addicted relationships, and you will rise like Phoenix from the ashes of your old self. I'm so excited to see you soon and to talk to you again soon. Lots of love. Bye.
So that's it for today's episode of the Addicted to Love podcast. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week will win a love makeover private coaching with Aaliyah Ava herself. Be sure and go to addictedtolovepodcast.com to subscribe and get your free copy of Aaliyah Ava's Love Addiction Mirror. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Addicted to Love is created and presented by TheRoyalPath.com.